What is really to believe? Well, the word believe means to accept that something is true or real. It is the Greek word pistiu, pistiu. That word denotes reliance, trust, and belief. In the New Testament, it is a leading word to denote the relationship with God. It is a call for faith as turning to God. You have to believe as a small child that God can and will do those things. It's your faith.
Peace in the middle of the storm. It's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. It's peace in the middle of the storm. It's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. It's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
In John chapter 4, the first miracle was associated with a wedding, a time of feasting and joy. The second miracle is associated with sickness, a time of anxiety and sorrow. In comparison, the two occasions, Pastor Poncho will have us see that life has much of one as it does the other, and that Jesus is absolutely needed in both circumstances. Well, today, Pastor Poncho will be exploring that today. As we continue our series of studies in the Gospel of John, we'll look today at chapter 4 as we consider faith and healing in Galilee. That's what we'll consider coming up next on this edition of On the Level Radio.
It's peace in the middle of the storm. It's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
Turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 39, so we can recap. 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, forgive me, we read the Samaritan woman. So let's recap. From a single conversation with this Samaritan woman, there was a remarkable evangelization success. Many people believed on the testimony of this woman of ill repute. And many more came to hear for themselves, and they believed because they heard Jesus themselves. They believed, she believed. Jesus had been sharing that with us from the beginning of the Gospel of John. He said to the woman, "Believe me, woman, believe me. The time is coming, and now is, when we will worship God, not in this place or in Jerusalem, but we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And those who desire to worship God must worship in spirit and in truth." And because God is light and God is a spirit. And so Jesus has always been providing that account to believe in him, to believe in his mission, to believe in what he has to say, to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But what is the word believe? It says here in verse 39 of chapter 4, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman at the well." In John chapter 4, verse 41 and 42, "And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we what? We believe not because of what you said, woman, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Now, I want you to know, there was no miracle. There was no sensational supernatural phenomena. There was no signs. There were no wonders. It was just a conversation that revealed the need of a soul who was dry, a soul that was parched and thirsty, and God wanted to give this woman the gift of God, living waters. No miracles. It was just a conversation. Now, in contrast to that, he wants to go back now to Galilee. In Galilee, we reminded that when he first was anointed, as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at the age of 30 years old, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and immediately he went to Nazareth. And as he went to Nazareth, we are told that there were people in his own place where they were saying, "Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he And so they begin to recognize him. They couldn't believe that that little child, that teenager, that carpenter's son, whose sisters and brothers were here for him to claim he was the Messiah, they couldn't believe it. And so Jesus basically said, he said that there were those people that they would not believe in him. Even in his own country, especially from your own home, people would not believe. And that's so true. You become a Christian, you want to go back to your family, and your family, see, your brothers or sisters, they've seen you grow up, they know how mad messed up you were, and they know some of the deeds you did, and it's very hard for your family members to believe that you are really changed. They're very hard to win. And your family members are the worst critics of your walk. They're the first to criticize you. I thought you were a Christian. You're not supposed to cuss. And sometimes, you know, in that first year of creation of a new person, I don't know about you, but I still cuss 3 months being a Christian. I still cuss after a year as a Christian. I didn't want to cuss, but you stepped on my tail hard enough and I'll just blow it. See, I was not transformed yet. I was not shaped in the form, in the image of what God wanted me to be. I was growing in the Lord. I was being mature. And guess what? I'm not there yet. Neither are you. That's why I'm confident can say I'm not there yet, because the Bible says that none of us are there. If Paul said, I'm not there yet, in Philippians chapter 2, I'm not there yet. He says, but I'm trying to get up there. So Paul, forgive me, Jesus now goes now to Galilee. Now in Galilee, they have no respect for him. They want miracles and signs, in contrast with the Samaritans, who they were mongrels, they were half-breeds. These were mixed mongrels. And yet they believed immediately. There was no signs, no wonders, nothing. Now Jesus is going to go up north to Galilee. And as he goes to Galilee, you see, unlike the Samaritans, they says they believe. But what is the word believe? You know, I believe that I live in California. That's not a belief. What is really to believe? What convinces Samaritans to believe? To believe in Jesus. Well, the word believe means to accept that something is true or real. It is the Greek word pisteu, pisteu. That word denotes reliance, trust, and belief. In the New Testament, it is a leading word to denote the relationship with God. It is a call for faith as turning to God. The verb to believe is often used for believing God's word, God's scripture, the prophets, Moses, and even John the Baptist in Mark 11:31, even what God says through an angel. You remember the angel that appeared to John, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? Because he couldn't believe that his wife, who was over 75 years old, was pregnant. And so because he couldn't believe, the Bible says in the Christmas story in Luke 1:20, behold, the angel told Zechariah, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place. Why? Because you did not pisteu my words. You did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. See, it wasn't just a belief. It was a belief that really constituted all your senses. Now, to know something, you have to have certain senses. You got to see it, or you got to hear it, or you got to smell it, or you have to taste it, or you have to feel it. You see, that's how we are able to intellectualize truth. You know, I don't believe until I see it. And yet, in the Christian faith, it doesn't work that way. Because see, the faith of God is totally different. You have to believe as a small child that God can and will do those things. It's your faith. Now, when the people of God asked and demanded for a sign, Jesus would not give them a sign. It's just believe. Because there were people that were saying, I won't believe you until you do a miracle. You see, that's what the religious people are. They want to be proven. And yet, we find that when John's disciples, the Baptists, when they asked Jesus, because they were sent by John when John was in prison, go ask Jesus if he's the one. And Jesus said, go tell John what you hear and what you see. You see, he did wonders and miracles in front of them, because they had to carry the message to John, and they told John, hey, we saw it, we heard it. But there's others in the Bible that will say, well, do a miracle in John chapter 6 when we get there. They says, well, what should we do that we may do the work of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who was sent. That's it. And so they didn't believe that. They said, well, can you do a miracle? Can you do a big shebang? Like what? Well, man, you know, the big shebang, and you know, when our fathers were in the desert, you know, bread came from heaven every single day. Translation or implication or implied. Can you top that? And Jesus said, yes, that's correct. Your fathers ate manna that came from heaven, but they died in the wilderness. Well, yeah, of course. Everybody has to die. But Jesus said, I have a bread from heaven that you may eat of it and never die. And they said, Lord, we want this bread. And Jesus said, I am that bread that came from heaven, that he whosoever may eat of it not die. He was speaking, of course, spiritually, because we all have to die. But he was speaking about spiritual food for eternity. And they still couldn't get it. And he says, this evil generation wants a sign. They always want a miracle. The miracle, they want a sign, and the Greeks want wisdom. But the simplicity of people like the Samaritans, you see, they were simple people. We do desperate things when we're desperate. We find it, you see in a moment, that after he travels to Galilee, a man who is in Capernaum, around 20, 25 miles away, he hears that Jesus is in the town of Cana. Cana was a place where he turned water into wine. So this man heard about Jesus. We'll meet him in a moment. I want you to know that Jesus had just been back. According to chapter 1, he went to the temple and he turned the tables and he let the animals go free. And this guy started whipping everybody. He says, this is the house of my father, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. And the Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 23, now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. That is verse 23 or chapter 2. So when he was at the feast of Passover, he did miracles and signs. We don't know what he did. John doesn't comment that. Why am I telling you that? Because there were people from Galilee that were there for the Passover, and they witnessed what Jesus did. And now they went back to Galilee, and now Jesus is coming to Galilee. You would think after seeing what he did in Jerusalem, they will believe on him. Oh no. Unlike the Samaritans, these mongrels, they came to Jesus and they believed in him immediately. You see, believe is very important. John the Baptist, we are told in John chapter 1 verse 7, that John the Baptist came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through Jesus might believe. In John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. In John chapter 1 verse 50, to Nathanael, Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. John chapter 2, 11, the beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It was at the witnessing of turning the water into wine where the disciples convinced themselves, we believe you are the Messiah. But you see, that was a quiet manifestation. The Bible says that only the servants and the disciples saw the miracle. The wedding guests, they didn't even know where the wine was coming from. They just said, hey man, usually you serve cheap wine. No, cheap, no, the good wine. And once people are a little buzzing, they give you cheap wine. He says, you have done it in reverse. You have given us cheap wine, and now you have good wine. And only the servants knew what had happened, and the disciples. And that turned the disciples into a disposition of believing in Jesus Christ. It's a big change, and I think I know Jesus Christ, into believing, trusting with a loyal heart, and you trust your life, boom, and you go for it. Have you ever gone to an elevator? Do you check the permit? Do you say, you don't want to fall? You know that people don't like to get in a glass elevator because they see everything and they freak out. Can you imagine if I tell you that instead of a cable, you know, that it has elastic and plastic holding that elevator up and down? You see, you will have a change of heart. You will be convinced that, you know, it may not hold me. But we walk in that elevator, it's padded, beautiful, shoplifting music coming up from the speakers, and you're just sitting there and you're going, ooh, ooh. The shoplifting music going on, and you don't even hear it. And you don't even realize that you have this faith. And thus, these people did not believe in Jesus Christ. But all throughout, In John chapter 2:22, the Bible says, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. John 3:12 to Nicodemus, he says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in me. The same writer, John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may continue believing. So you see, putting our faith in believing in Jesus Christ one time to receive Jesus Christ, that is not sufficient. Yes, sufficient enough for your salvation. Yes, sufficient enough to be born again, to be complete in him. But you must continue to believe in him. So he returns to Galilee, verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana. The first time is in chapter 2 for the wedding. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea from the south into Galilee to the north, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for the son was at the point of death. So we have now an intrusion. An intrusion. This man has the hookup. This man, he is from Capernaum. Capernaum is around 20, 25 miles to Cana. Both cities are still there today, historically pinpointed. That is the two cities. And it will take a day's journey to walk. Now, he's a nobleman. What does that mean? You see, this man is a person that is authorized to act for another. It's just a person who is a nobleman, who is perhaps, he's an agent of Herod Antipas. A nobleman, that meant he was royally connected. A person that was royally connected to Herod Antipas was politically, religiously, legalistically, he had the hookup. Now, if you had money, prestige, political power, you had military power, and you had military, you had everything at your disposal. If your son is dying of a high fever, your son is dying, would you believe that the nobleman did everything possible to heal his son? The best doctors, the best physicians, the best technicians, the best heebie-jeebie people, and nothing can take care of his son. He could have sent somebody. He's a nobleman. No doubt he has slaves. He could have said, hey, go walk. There's Jesus out there. You can find him. Whatever there's a crowd, that's him. And tell him that I said, come on down. But he didn't. A desperate person does desperate things. I see him only as a father. I don't see him as a nobleman. I don't see him as a man who has the hookup. I see him as a father. If you have never been a father, you don't understand about your children. When you have your own children, you realize, my God, your children. It fascinates me in a horrific way when I hear that parents abandon their children. It just bothers me so much. It's part of our culture pathology. To leave and desert our children and our wives. No commitment, nothing. Just leave our wives or vice versa. That's a new trend. Wives leaving husbands now. They lose some weight. They put them high heels. Bye. They leave. They're gone. Horrible. They're Christians. And they leave. They desert. There is no loyalty. There's nothing. It really... My children mean everything to me. everything to me. Our children are very important, man. This nobleman walked one day. He had the hookup. He had political power. He had money power. But it was his son. And he will do whatever it takes. The Bible says he implored Jesus. Do you know what that means, implore? Plorer in Latin. I don't know Latin, ladies and gentlemen, but I study my word. You look at the word implore. I beg of you. I challenge you to go into Webster's Dictionary and look at it. It's a French word, come from the Latin word. Implorar basically means to weep and to cry. This man, as rich as he was, as connected as he went to Jesus and he said, please, and he started crying, help me, help me. And listen, he didn't want to debate theological stuff with Jesus. Notice what he says. It says when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. See, that was a blanket statement. You see, he's a Jew. And he says, unless I do something sensational, you guys won't believe. I was just in Samaria, and I'm talking to this chick right here who's all messed up, and with no miracle, with no sensational supernatural phenomena, I just exposed her heart, and she says, I know you're the Savior of the world. I know you're the Christ. He says, but you want me to have miracles and wonders. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. It's like that. See, he has no time to debate theological. I'm not asking you for any miracles. I'm just asking you to come down to my house. We have to walk 20 miles. It'll take us a day's journey before. Now, you ever heard the word proxy? The word proxy means a person authorized to act for another, an agent or substitute, the authority to act for another. There are two other people mentioned in the Bible that come to Jesus without the person. The Roman centurion says, I have a servant who is sick. And Jesus said, I'll go with you. And Jesus said, the centurion says, you don't have to. I believe you. He said, you say the word. You see, I know you have Jews. You got authority. I have authority too. He says, I'm a centurion. I handle 100 men. I tell men, do this, do that. They sit down. They come. I too have authority. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus exclaims, I have never seen this kind of faith displayed even among the Jewish people. He says, go, your servant is well. The Syrophoenician woman, the Bible says that Jesus and the disciples went up north to rest. They got away from ministry because they were wearied. But one woman whose daughter was demon possessed heard that Jesus was kicking back with the disciples in the house, and you hear croaking. That's the English word. She was croaking. What does that mean, croaking? You look at the Webster's Dictionary, she was yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. The disciples had to turn to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you tell this woman to shut up? And the Bible said that she said it even louder. Finally, Jesus said to her, what do you want? Told her the problem, my daughter is ill. It's just, it's not good to take the bread for the children from the children of Israel and to give it to little dogs, the Samaritans and the non-Jews. And then she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs are able to lick the crumbs that fall to the ground. And Jesus said, oh, your daughter is well. What's my point here? How many, don't raise your hand, but how many of you can come to Jesus by proxy and say, we're praying for our daughter, we're praying for our son, we're praying for my husband, we're praying for whatever. They're not here. We're praying for them in the name of Jesus. There's power. Jesus doesn't have to go directly. You see, this is why we pray. We pray right now that God will have mercy upon your daughter, upon your son, upon your husband, upon grandma, wherever they may be at. You can pray for them by proxy. He just said, he was just heartfelt. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives.
Well, today as we've been exploring the Bible and Scripture, we also have a place of trust and faith in Jesus. As we do, eventually this young man would die anyway. Even faith healers die. The best miracle of healing can do is postpone the inevitable. The saving of a soul, however, is the greatest miracle of all. As we've been learning on today's program of On the Level, as Pastor Pancho continues to teach us in the Gospel of John, today we've been looking further at chapter 4 on this edition of On the Level Radio. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.